All right. I'm going to bring in Pete Weber now from Nashville, the voice of the Predators and our Western Conference analyst. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning. And Mike, I was just reading your stuff on Twitter right now, your proposal for those divisions. Yes.
It is out there. So if you don't want to wait for 9:45 Eastern time, you just got to follow me on Twitter, Home Ice Rossi, and I've got the divisions lined up.
Yeah, but Pete, I don't like the division he's got where the Senators are the only team in that one division.
Yeah, but they make...
I don't think that works for me.
No, it's like somebody told me years ago and said, you know, how can we find a way to get more teams in the NHL playoffs? And that was just after the merger with the WHA.
Right.
So it was
right.
21 teams, and I said, well, let's make it easy. 21 one-team divisions. And the top three and the top three teams in each division make the playoffs.
There you go, exactly.
Yeah.
Or you could. I enjoyed the Jay Moore jokes last night about that. The Edmonton Oilers.
Yes. Hey. 600 goals away from the Stanley
right.
Cup.
That's right. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Pete, I want to get your reaction to the awards and to the Stanley Cup final. But first, the trip to Cooperstown and gone to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And how did that all go?
That was absolutely tremendous. It was a fantastic visit. I wish I had spent two more days there because you still don't see everything. But what I saw from the behind-the-scenes tour at the museum and at the library is how much stuff they have out for the fans. And if they could turn the place, into a super Walmart, they could see so much more because floor space is definitely at a premium, even after all the expansions of the hall and the great stuff that they still have that they don't have room for display at this point in time. But they're doing a far better job, I think, of rotating things through. Now, I had not been to the hall since 1998, so that 13-year gap showed a tremendous improvement. And I'm planning on going back much sooner for my next visit than this last one. But I ended up, guys, Toronto Blue Jays tickets, August 6th, 1981. Game that wasn't played. Major League Baseball was still on strike, and I was able to present them with four tickets to the Blue Jays-Yankees game at Exhibition Stadium.
Very nice. Now, what does a behind-the-scenes tour of the Hall of Fame entail? What were some of the things that you got to see that,
watching
that the average
them,
guy doesn't?
Watching them as they process stuff coming in. For example, 40 years worth of file boxes, so roughly three high going across 20 or so feet. Detroit Tigers records from the 1940s into the 80s. Not just the financials and tickets sold, but also the reports filed by their scouts. Once they get in there and take a look at those, I would have a great deal of fun, I think, because, for example, Sam McDowell, the Tigers thought they had him. A scout was a good friend of mine and my family in Buffalo. Cy Williams thought he had Sam McDowell all set to be signed. This is in the pre-draft era. And Cy shows up at the McDowell family home outside Pittsburgh, only to find out that a preemptive strike had been made and the Cleveland Indians, I know this sounds like ages ago, but the Cleveland Indians were the ones that came up with huge money to the point that Sam McDowell's parents were crying that Cy Williams and the Tigers were not going to get Sudden Sam.
All right, great history stuff. And you think about the Hockey Hall of Fame, too. I had seen some repeat that the average museum, a sizable museum, has about 10% of its collection on display. Any museum in any given time, there's just too much stuff.
Exactly.
And it's rare to have a behind-the-scenes look. The Hockey Hall of Fame is probably the same sort of thing. Now, I take it you've been to the Hall of Fame in Toronto, the Hockey Hall of Fame?
Oh, yeah. I was at the old one as well.
And
what an improvement.
That old one. Yes, you know, but it was funky and it had its own little appeal, but you did have to move on to a more lavish setting and in a bigger setting, and they always talk all the time about, I've heard this talked about, wow, you know, we still need more room, still need more room, and there's always going to be gems behind that. Now, you're a sports guy, hockey, football, baseball, heck, the tiddlywinks, if there's a game, you're probably there calling.
Lacrosse, yes.
There you go, good sport. Do you ever play video games?
You know something? I have not played a video game since the era of what we were watching on the movie Airplane, when they were playing those very simplified tennis games on the radar screens.
Yes, so, the pongs, yes.
Yes,
Okay, well, when you're here next time, we're going to have to set you down and introduce you to the,
okay,
the joys and wonders of it. Steven Stamkos, I know we're going to talk awards, but I want to talk about this. Steven Stamkos of the Lightning was picked as the cover boy for the cover guy, I guess, for EA Sports, the big video game. And in this day and age, that's how you get to a lot of kids. I know my 7-year-old was happy about that when I told him this morning because he likes Stamkos and he likes video games.
Right.
He likes hockey. You put it all together. I mean, one day that's going to all be in the museum too, isn't it?
I would think so. Absolutely. The probably the evolution of the video games and how we went from those very simplistic old ones to now where you almost have to have someone who could be fooled by looking at the figure on the screen by how lifelike they have come to be.
Yes, and good simulations, and it's just what we do as a fan for the younger generation. What do you think of Stamkos then? That, in the sense, that's sort of the unofficial new face of the National Hockey League in some ways.
Yes, he is.
The other guys are still there, but obviously we know he was quite the goal scorer, and he's a personable young man, all that sort of stuff. Good choice by the league and EA Sports.
Absolutely. You know, it was funny. There was when we spoke with Puck Daddy a couple of weeks ago on our local show here, going behind the scenes with EA Sports, we found out why Cliff Ronning was so good in that 93-94 era.
I see, that's legendary.
Because, yes, he was close friends with Cliff Ronning. So Cliff's numbers, video-wise, turned out to be far more impressive, far more sparkling.
See, it's fixed, even in video games. Unbelievable. Yeah, good point.
I once asked, remember when you and I were working for Rogers Sportsnet way back when?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Paul Spaljarek, former major league pitcher, was working alongside us, and I had mentioned to him, hey, I was playing Ken Griffey Jr. baseball last night, and you were on my team. I said that was pretty cool. And he noted that his numbers on that were way inflated, and there was no way he could ever actually live up to his video game character. But he said, you know, you want to hear something cool? He said, I actually played Ken Griffey Jr. baseball with Ken Griffey Jr.
Oh, wow.
Because, of course, he was with the Mariners for a time.
Yeah.
And he said they used to play it in the clubhouse all the time. So how about playing Ken Griffey Jr. baseball, or how about playing NHL 12 with Steven Stamkos? That would be kind of cool.
I think I'm going to have to go back and pick up the NHL 93 game and play with Cliff Ronning.
There you go. There you go.
What a good contest that
would be. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, before we get to the awards, your thoughts looking back at the Stanley Cup Final, the Boston Bruins pulling it off, and Tim Thomas getting the MVP and all that jazz.
What a tremendous show of resilience there. That's a word they used so often by Predators coach Perry Trotz, that the Boston Bruins demonstrated. Now, we can look at this probably three ways. Tremendous comeback by the Bruins, tremendous meltdown by Vancouver, or just an outstanding Stanley Cup Final. It was, at worst, just an outstanding Stanley Cup Final. But I think that what the Bruins showed and the attrition as bodies were being carried out, it seemed, on almost a regular basis, not just Nathan Horton. Let's not forget Dan Hamhuis after, a period plus of the final series, not being able to go any further. And obviously, Ryan Kessler was not anywhere near as healthy as he was, nor, I guess, should he have been in the second round series against the Predators. But to see the Bruins able to do what they did against the club that was the best in the regular season and going through the playoffs and was able to somehow or another. Now, they're going to be psychoanalyzed, the Vancouver Canucks, perhaps more than any club outside of, I guess, the San Jose Sharks, but they were on the bigger stage over the last 4 or 5 years. What was the reason that they weren't able to close the deal? We are never going to really know, I don't think, but it was a great series to watch.
And in defense of the Canucks, which I hadn't done much during the playoffs, I admit, but okay, one game away from winning the Cup.
That's right.
Last night, they won a number of awards.
Did they ever?
So, you know, you want to win the Cup and make money as a team. That's the always thing. That's the big come. But on the ice, you want to win the Cup and all that stuff. One game away, they still had a pretty good season.
That's
right. That cliche, 28 other teams would rather be in their place. Well, no, 28 other teams would rather be in the Bruins' place. But this was not a failure. This was another step forward for them. They only have one more step forward to go. That's the question now. Can they take that final step?
Yeah, will they be, as we can recall, the late 70s New York Islanders?
Sure.
They had...
No, the short answer is no. Not in this day and age, right?
Well, I don't think they're going to continue and go on, but can...
Yeah.
In terms of the development of a team and team toughness to the point where they can close the deal. Because I'm thinking about those Islanders teams that they were very young to begin with when they overcame the three-game deficit in their series with the Pittsburgh Penguins, then almost did it in a series with the Philadelphia Flyers, but then they lose in 79. But who was going to beat that Montreal Canadiens team anyway? And then finally come on and make that trade for Butch Goring, and 80 through 84 go to the Stanley Cup Finals each of those years and win four of them. That's, you watch these clubs step 40. You always say it's never going to be easy. You're going to probably have to have a failure that you almost consider cataclysmic before you can move on. So that's what we'll watch from Vancouver from here on out.
So did the Bruins have their failure then? Was that the wipeout last year?
Yeah, I think it was. I really do. I think that it definitely was. And the way that that was, and here's the other story that I think everybody who loves the underdog story had to love, Tim Thomas, who, you know, when the Bruins blew it last year, it was Tuukka Rask who was in the barrel pretty well. Tim Thomas was not physically whole. And then he comes back and has the hip labrum surgery, and I thought it was great that he thanked the medical personnel who helped him come back and play as well as he did this last year for, how did he phrase it, for getting me ready athletically to compete again. And that was absolutely fantastic. Tim Thomas, there are so many little engine that could type of stories with that man that I don't think anybody can begrudge him what he did.
Let's talk about the awards. And from
and Jennifer Beals? Oh, okay.
Well, hey, we can do that all day long.
Okay.
Friend, believe me. From a Nashville standpoint, when we made our picks yesterday, I think partly just from just experience, and I guess and thinking of it from a logical standpoint, and knowing how people usually vote on these things, I don't think that we called for any Predators to win, and in fact, nobody did. Disappointment there, Pete. I mean, did you feel that? That the Nashville Predators may have broken through a bit last night?
They did break through a little bit last night. I mean, as close as that balloting was with Shea Weber and Nick Lidstrom and Zdeno Chara, I thought that was a big breakthrough. Now, if I still lived in Buffalo, I would be hearing conspiracy theories. I have not heard those, at least yet today, about any of that. But, number one, there were four finalists. And insofar as we know from the ones where we have the disclosed balloting, I can't say that I detect any conspiracy there.
No.
And, you know, it's kind of interesting how Steve Simmons this last spring was saying that, hey, maybe Barry Trotz should be coach of the decade, not to mention coach of the year, but it is on a year-by-year basis. And, hey, quite frankly, what, you know, Dan Bylsma was able to accomplish with the Penguins Club that was the stripped-down version, if you will, and still able to propel them where he did, I think that's that says a great deal for him. And you could, and again, I think I've had this argument with you guys before, at least put this forth, and I seating in the balloting for the Hart Trophy, I think that's where Pekka Rinne had his best chance to shine, but it simply wasn't going to be the case for a club that was not as high in the standings as some of the others.
Any of the winners that surprised you? I mean, they're all worthy candidates. Anyone?
I kind of agree with what you guys were saying earlier. You know, Corey Perry closed with a tremendous, tremendous finish there, but it really wasn't a season-long accomplishment then, was it? I mean, that's what I was thinking.
Does that
about.
Matter, though? Because I'm thinking, and obviously it does to a lot of people, there's 82 games. They just ask you get to the 82-game mark at a certain point.
Oh, yeah.
Does it matter how you do that?
No, it's the bottom line edition. It's the bottom line edition. But watching that as it all developed last night. Now, here, guys, here's something else I want to interject into this discussion. And this is not any defense or attack on anybody, but what did the withholding of various Professional Hockey Writers Association chapters votes in support of Chris Botta, what sort of effect did that have on this
Good
year's
point.
Tabulations?
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Because what it was the Metro New York and Columbus, Ohio, as I recall, right?
Yeah, and when you look at the breakdown, you know what? I'm not sure. I mean, I'm not sure how many individuals that entails, and just what the effect would be, other than the fact that the one thing that sort of jumped off the page for me was that Roberto Luongo finishes a distant third.
Yes, that is
voting for the Vezina. That was surprising to me.
It's almost like, well, you have too good a team around you.
Yeah. Almost the Marty Brodeur syndrome.
Yes, yes.
Except in reverse because Brodeur won.
Yeah, and that's the thing. There's the difference, Rossi. I agree with that, guys, except Luongo has that reputation he hasn't shed. And this is even before the playoffs because they voted before the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that reputation precedes him, and it's going to take a while before he sheds it, fair or unfair. And this is just a continuation of that.
Had it happened after the playoffs, I would think the mood was to strike him entirely.
Probably. Which wouldn't be fair.
No, it would not.
Pete, thanks for being here all season long for us. We've really appreciated your input, not only on all things Predators, but certainly looking at the Western Conference for us week to week, and we look forward to doing it again next season.
Yeah, let's see how we do it. And everybody, pay close attention to Mike's realignment of the league, and if you wish, email-wise, I'll send you some other suggestions for that.
Sounds good. Thanks, Pete.
Thank you, guys. Been a great season.
You too. Pete Weber, our
Flash Dance
Conference analyst and television voice and sometimes radio voice.
Will he be Western Conference analyst in your realignment scenario? That's what I want to know. Nashville ain't that West, baby.
Yes.
I guess you got to have some teams in the West.
Yes.
Hey, at 2 Eastern today, isn't the NHL schedule released?
Yes.
There you go.